Morning, church. Wow, so glad to be here to worship with all of you again. Do you all miss me? Yeah, I really miss all of you. Be honest, a lot of your faces always flashing in my heart, and you are still in my prayer. It is so good to be here to see all of you. What a joy, what a joy. And God answered your prayer. A lot of you asked me, Pastor Wallace, when are you going to preach in the English church? Oh, here I am. And also, some of you asked, where have you been? Yeah, I was at the Mandarin church, leading the Mandarin church. Yeah, so there's many capable leaders and pastors here in the English. And in the Mandarin side, where we have only some old folks. They are like they are like sheep without shepherd. So as God has called me, I guess I'm the only one who can speak Mandarin among the pastor here. So so as when the elders approached me and asked me to pray about it, to go over to the Mandarin side after some prayer and spoke to my mentor. And I think, yeah, it's a place where they are like sheep without shepherd, where they need a shepherd, and I'm there to help them, hopefully to revive the church. And also we see a lot of the Mandarin-speaking people, lost soul out there that we need to reach out to. There's many English churches around here, this area, but there's not many Mandarin churches. So, and also there is, as we see, there's many China students come to our doorstep, and it's a time for us to reach out to them as well. So, if God moved your heart, may I promote a little bit? If God moved your heart and you feel like you can speak Mandarin and you would like to come and join me, serve in the Mandarin church, please let me know and come and join us. I have the permission from Elder Brian to recruit you. Okay, so today let us preach on this part, Mark chapter 1, 1 to 15, the beginning of the good news, the beginning of the good news. Let us read the Word of God. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days. Being tempted by Satan, he was with the wild animal. The angel attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaimed the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. repent and believe the good news. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that always, always strengthen us, always, always draw us close to you. Father, and this morning we'd like to commit this time into your hand. Bless the lips of your servant as he speak forth your word. May your word be speak forth according to your will, Lord, that speak to your people will enrich all of us here and will strengthen us and will nurture us. And we will have your word in our heart and live according to your word. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me open up my... Here you go. Okay. So today, these 15 verses, actually, there is many major events in there. Yeah, I'm not going to into the depth of this event, but why Mark, you summarize all this event in the 15 verses? There is a reason for it, okay? So he did not start the book of Gospel like Luke or Matthew with the genealogies of Jesus, but he start this book with this event. I categorize them in this few points, okay? So next. Okay. First of all, herald the eternal king, affirmation of the eternal king, and the king proclaims the good news. Okay, let us continue expound the rest of the passage. Let's see. So first of all, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah. Yeah, Messiah means Christ. The word Messiah in Hebrew word and Christ in Greek, the Son of God. So what is that good news? Yeah, at that time, for us, we have the New Testament. We know what good news is. But for them at that time, the New Testament, it was not complete written. So what is that good news? What are they understand of that good news? The good news is not a New Testament term. But the good news was actually the word gospel is actually used in Old Testament as well. So we can see from here, okay? You who bring good news to Zion, go up on the high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the town of Judah, here is your God. So what is that good news? That is the good news. Proclaim that your God is here. Your God is here for you. And he says, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompany him. He tend his flock like a shepherd. He gathered the lamb in his arm and carried them close to his heart. He gently lead those that have young. So you can see for the Jewish, they understand the context of gospel. Okay, it's very different from the New Testament. But the similar thing is that they know God is here. The Messiah is here. The anointed king is here to take care of them, to save them, to help them, to protect them. This is a big news for the at that time for the Jew. Why? Because for 400 years, they were silent. They have not heard from God. And now, during this New Testament time, he said, the good news has come to you. It's a great news. Finally, they hear the God again. God's come to them again. No longer they have their own country. They're being dominated by the Roman Empire. They're conquered by the Roman Empire. They don't have their own country. Now they said, the king is coming back to us. God is coming back to us. So when Mark say that, the good news, the gospel, Jesus, the Messiah, is telling them that Jesus is the good news. He is the God who come to you. He said, here is your God, Jesus, the Messiah, who is Son of God. So, and from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 to 2, it also said, comfort my people, say your God, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her heart service hath been completed. The Jew really know. They have sins against God. God have drive them out from their own land. No longer they have a country. He said, now your king is back. Your God is back. That is the good news. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. Okay? The Jews understand that when Mark say that. So let's remember, let's keep that in our mind, okay? And then the second thing. So they say, this king, this God was being prophesied in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, and Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. There's a combination, okay? This verse 2 and 3, there's a combination. First half is from Malachi chapter 3, and verse 1, and second part, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. He said, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight path for him. So what he's saying that? He said, there is a prophecy for you to know that the Messiah is here. God is here. How? How to know that? The prophecy is talking about he will send a messenger, prepare the way of the Lord. Okay? That was the prophecy. And that prophecy come to pass. That's why immediately he said, and so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, the prophecy fulfilled. So he said, this is a good news. Your king is here. How would I know? There is a prophecy, and now the prophecy fulfilled because you see the messenger. Who is that messenger? John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Okay? So John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Okay, first of all, John the Baptist, his last name is not Baptist. Okay? And John the Baptist is not from a Baptist denomination. Baptist denomination doesn't exist at that time. Okay? So, why they call him John the Baptist? At that time, that's how they name people. Okay? So that Mary Magdalene, you know. So John the Baptist is because he baptizing people at the Jordan River. So his baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Okay? And the whole Judea countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sin. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. So, did John actually have power to forgive sin? He don't have the power to forgive sin. So why he baptizing people? You know, at that time, the whole Jerusalem, the temple court, there is no pool, you know, like our church, where people can go in and dip themselves and got baptized. No, this is a new thing. This is not completely new. This was mentioned when a pagan want to become the Jew, they also have to go through this cleansing. But here he said, baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sin. This is big, forgiveness of sin. Only God can forgive sin. Man cannot forgive sin. But why he do that? Why so many people actually come to him? Okay? His baptism of forgiveness of sins is actually prepare them for Jesus. That's why his message is that, after me comes the one more powerful than I, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So those who repent, what they repent from? Repent from their sin. They want to turn back to God. And John the Baptist gathered them, teach them that your king is coming, God is coming, and he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's not the charismatic type of the second baptism of the Holy Spirit, okay? It's not like that. That God, Jesus, when he baptized us with the Holy Spirit, it's actually he will ask the Father and send the Holy Spirit into every one of us. When John the Baptist baptized in repentance, that means he prepared them, okay, you want to turn back to God, I prepare you, and the one is coming, okay? Now I baptize you, I wash you with water, but there's a one is coming, and there's a one is coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So he prepared these people, he prepared a way for the king, okay? So, just like the 12 disciples of Jesus, Peter, Andrew, John, they all was the disciple of John the Baptist. They follow the teaching of John the Baptist. John the Baptist prepared them and then later point them to Jesus. Point them to Jesus. Okay? So we know John the Baptist is the prophecy of God fulfilled. He's the messenger who prepared the way for God. When we see John the Baptist, we should know, if you read the scripture, that, okay, the king is coming, and John the Baptist preached about him. The one who's going to come will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, now, we know the prophecy being prophesied, prophecy fulfilled, and now affirmation of the eternal king. You can see that the time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan, just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open, the Spirit descending on him like a dove. A voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So Mark say that when Jesus, after he baptized, he come out from the water, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, descended on him. And there's a voice from heaven, the Father said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." There's an affirmation from the Holy Spirit, from God the Father, that affirm that he is the chosen king. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. He is the eternal king who I gave to you. And the whole journey, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they work together and they go out to the people. God is here. God come to the people. Okay, here is, then Jesus, here I would like to address that. So why Jesus need to be baptized? Since he's God and he's sinless. Here he said, John tried to deter him saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" And Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. John actually wanted to stop him. He said, no, don't stop me. It is proper to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Can you see that? What is that all righteousness? Everything that God has established and commanded them to do, the Son, as a man, obey perfectly. Although he is God, but he is a form of man, he obeyed the command of the Father, go for the baptism. Okay? That's why he said, it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Can you see how obedient the Son is? He set a good example for us. Complete obedience to the Father. Now, sidetrack a little bit. A lot of us, when I was serving here, a lot of you don't want to go for baptism. Because I already prayed the sinner's prayer. I'm already saved. I don't have to go for baptism. Look at here. Even Jesus. he obeyed to what the Father commanded him to do. So I encourage you, if you have not baptized, please register with Pastor Mark, okay? So now, let's come. This is a very powerful statement. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Just not any son, but a son, that beloved son of God. The one that he loved and he gave to us. The one and only son. God did not give us something less. He gave us the most precious one that he loved to us. Now, tempted and triumphant, we can see at once the Spirit sent him out in the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animal, and angel attended him. So here, he was in the wilderness 40 days and being tempted by Satan. Okay? So, in Adam and Eve was tempted by Satan, they failed. Okay, 40 years of Israel in the wilderness, they complained, they're grumbling, they failed. But Jesus must pass this test, right? The tested, and he is being tested, tempted by Satan, but he triumphed from that temptation. So that's why Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 15 say, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Okay? We want a sinless Savior and King. Only he is safe, sinless. Only he be able to be a victor in this temptation. He can be that perfect Savior for all of us. And Jesus showed us that he actually triumphed in that test. Now, come to the important part. The King proclaimed the good news. So we see that this is our King. This is the King that God sent to us. He did not send to us a king sitting on the throne and lords over you and order you around. No, he's the King who come to serve his people, who come as himself to proclaim this good news. He said, I am the good news. Have you ever seen people do that? He's the King and he's the good news, and he go to the people, come on, I am the good news. I am the good news. I'm here to serve you. Please come to me. This is the kind of King we have. This is the kind of God we have. He loved us so much. Not only he died on the cross for us, he come to each one of his people. He said, I come to my people, yet my people do not know me. But those who believe will give him to be the Son of. Brother and sister, we have the King who serve. We have the King who love. We have the King who care. And that is our God. He come to every one of us. And that is the good news. And that is the good news. And the good news is not that you have a ticket to heaven. The good news is that you have the King that loves you and come to you to reconcile with you. You can see here when he said, the time has come, repent and believe the good news. John the Baptist did not say that, believe the good news. He said, repent. But Jesus can say that because he is the good news. He said, this is the time. I'm coming. I'm going to establish my kingdom. You see, without him, No one can be his citizen. But because he can go up to the cross and finish the work, so the kingdom can be established, can we can come to him and to be his people again. Do you see that? That's why he said the time has come, because he is here. The kingdom of God has come near. I'm going to establish my kingdom, and you're going to be my people. You all that was created by me, and you were separated from me. I want you to imagine this for a moment. You know, if you are a refugee in the refugee camp, right, today in Malaysia, be it any country, today in Malaysia, and you know what happened to the refugee? They have no right. They cannot complain. If anything happened to them, they cannot report to the police and help them. They cannot do that. They have no right. They cannot buy things like buy a house, a landed property, and all that. Not like us. We have the privilege. We have the privilege to do that because we are Malaysian. So be proud as you're Malaysian. Okay? But then the refugee don't have that right. And their children don't have that right. And you ask the children, what have they done wrong? No, they didn't do anything wrong. They're just born as a refugee children. They have no right. Their children have no right. Imagine one day someone go to them that now I grant you the right. Now you can be a Malaysian citizen and enjoy every privilege that a Malaysian can enjoy. Is that a good news? Yes, that's exactly what happened to us. We were the refugee. We were separated from God. And the king came to us. He said, now you can enjoy this privilege again. Now you can come back to be my people. Ephesians chapter 1 said, I'm going to give you every blessing from heaven is for you. And I'm going to adopt you as my children, as my son. And that is his plan. From the beginning, he said, I already have that plan. And now, this is the plan. It's going to execute. Is that a good news? That is a great news. That is a wonderful news. So, here we see the man reconciled with God. Relationship with God restored. Brothers and sisters, are you rejoiced? Are you sitting here, you call yourself Christian? And not just I pray a sinner's prayer, I have a ticket to heaven. No, that's a lot more than that. You have relationship with God, the King of Kings, and you got a passport to heaven. In heaven, in the kingdom of God, you become citizen of the kingdom of God. That's the good news. That's good news. So you see what he say here. Romans chapter 5 verse 10. While we were God's enemy, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. We were reconciled with God. How much more have been reconciled shall we be saved through his life? All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself, to Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Very clear. Paul have a reconciliation ministry to bring this gospel to the people so that they can reconcile back to God. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So peace that man was enemy of God, he come and make peace between man and God, the Father. So we are the good news. We are being reconciled back to God. Second, the good news is God rule over his people. Now, I think, how many of you actually feel like, oh, that's bad. I'm going to rule by someone. You feel that? But I hope you don't. Because this is a good thing. when we can rule by God. Okay? Because He is the King of Kings. He is the ultimate King. Now we reconcile back to Him. He become our King and He rule over all of us. That is a privilege. We have God to rule over all of us. I want us to see that. He said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decree and be careful to keep my laws. Okay? Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestor. You will be my people and I will be your God. We will be restored back to God and we will rule by Him again. We become His people. Hallelujah. That is a wonderful news to be ruled by God. You know, a king, when he rules over a country, he needs to take care of the country. A job of a king is not easy. Okay? If a good king, yeah? He needs to take care of everyone under his care. The word rule here for God, for the context in the Bible is that to serve. Jesus said, the Son of Man come here not to be served, but to serve. God, when He rule over us, He serve us. He care for us. And we are under His protection to eternity. That is the good news. He said, while we were God's enemy, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. Now, next. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Our brother shared that. Go and make disciples. This is important. The first part of it. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Meaning what? For you who believe, I am your king. All authority from heaven and on earth is given to me. I am the king. Now the king order you. Therefore, go. If we call ourselves the citizen of the kingdom of heaven, we obey His command. We obey. This is not an option. This is not a suggestion. This is a command from a king and say, therefore, go. Make disciples of all nations. Bring them to my kingdom. Bring them back to me. Because I have given you the gospel. I have given you the good news. You are enjoying it. You become my people. Now, go. Command. Commanding all of us to do this work of Him. Okay, to decide, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Very important. Obey everything I have commanded you. First, we need to obey first. Then we can teach others to obey. We are not here to say that, oh, yeah, I teach you to obey, but I don't have to. No, we must first obey. We must first learn. We must first read His Word so that we can teach, so that we can obey and teach others to obey. How many of us here actually read His Word every day? If you haven't, you should read it every day so that you know, so that you can follow His command and go and make disciples of all nations. Now, so God rule over His people. Now, man can glorify God. We are restored to do what He has created us for, to glorify Him. A lot of people say, hey, once saved, always saved. I already saved. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I already baptized. I'm saved. so I can sit home and waiting to go to heaven. That's more than that. That's why the Bible said here, for all who have sinned and fall short the glory of God. We sin because we fall short the glory of God. We are created to glorify Him, to bring Him glory, yet we are not doing it. We go the other way and we sin against Him. We cannot glorify Him if we sin against Him. Because we want to be our own God. We don't want to obey His command. And starting from the Garden of Eden, when Eve decided to take that fruit, it's not that that fruit have any magical power. It's that she decided, I'm not going to obey God. I'm going to take that fruit and eat them. And I don't want Him to be my God. I don't want God to be my God. I want to be my own God. So how many of us would think like that too? I want God to bless me. I want God so that I can go to heaven to read His word. Sorry, I don't have time. To obey His word. Oh, that's too difficult. To go and make disciples. Ah, that's for the pastor and the missionary. How are you going to glorify Him if you don't read His word? If you don't obey His word, if you don't submit yourself to see Him as your King, as your Master, as your Lord, you can't. And that is fall short the glory of God. And that is sin. That's the ultimate sin. That's the original sin. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, in the same way, let your light be shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So you ask, I already pray my sinner's prayer, I already baptized. Why do I want to do all this? Because we are created to glorify Him, to follow Him, to please Him, to bring glory to Him. The good news is now, after reconciled with Him, after under His ruling, now we have the freedom to glorify God. Isn't that such a great privilege? Isn't that great? We should see that as a privilege in our life. We can glorify Him. We can live for Him. That is what God has intended for us to do. That is the purpose of your life and my life. A lot of us, we are finding purpose in our life. What is the purpose of my life? To glorify God. To know Him. To do His will. That's why Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 said, we are the craftsmanship of God to do good work. That good work, what is that good work? To bring Him glory, to glorify Him. Now we have the privilege to do that. Now we should rejoice. We can glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. Brother and sister, is that a good news to you? I hope it is a good news to you. Let us rejoice in this good news. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your wonderful, wonderful word, that so that we can understand more of You, so we know how to live for You. And from Your word, we see Your love for us. We understand the depth of Your love for us. We see the privilege of us being called Your people, being able to call You our Father. We are Your people. We can glorify Your name. We thank You. We praise You, Father. Such a blessing have been given to us, Lord. Father, I ask today the word will rooted in all my brothers and sisters' heart, and knowing that in this Christmas season is not about eating and drinking, but eating and drinking to glorify you, to do all things to glorify your name. Father, give us that heart. Give us that heart to obey your command. Help us to understand your word, and let this word root in our heart. We'll live it out for your glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.